Hi, this is Justine Toe, and you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Now, occasionally during our recording of these Life and Faith segments, we get so caught up in the discussion that we lose track of time, and suddenly we need a whole new episode to finish off our conversation. Now, this was the case with our series on The Good Life. Mick Martin, a minister at the Upper Room in North Sydney, media producer Hugh Clark, who's recording us today, and myself have been talking about this idea of the good life, how we tend to expect that life should go our way, and how this leaves us at a loss for when bad times happen. Now, in our last segment, just to catch you up, Hugh joined the conversation. He'd recently had a nasty bike accident, and his experience seemed very relevant for this discussion. So we're going to pick up this extended mix, or part three, of the Good Life series as I ask Mick, how should we make sense of suffering in our lives?
Hey, that's the big question, isn't it? I think, first of all, we need to do away with any simplistic notions that, you know, that, as I said before, that somehow suffering is something that's sent our way to teach us lessons. So if you get terminally ill or something like that, actually this is something you're meant, that's meant to happen to you for some greater good. I think that's a clunky way of looking at it. I think we just need to accept that suffering is part of life, you know, and I think part of our mentality around this good life thing that we talked about last week is that life should be straightforward and should be easy and should be comfortable and should all go our way, and anything other than that is an aberration. But I think we need to change the mindset and just accept the basic truth that life is hard, you know, and that it shouldn't shock us when things go wrong. It shouldn't surprise. We shouldn't feel like this is not how life should be. There's hard stuff in life, and so I think just basically accepting that is a starting point. But then,
can I chime in here? Because yeah. When I was in hospital, one of the things that struck me is that the ward I got put into, there was a guy opposite who had a bike accident as well and totally smashed his wrist and had to have reconstructory surgery. He was going to be in there for another week. About the same age, his kids came to visit him, and I looked far worse, but he had a far sort of, you know, more complicated and longer ranging injury. And then there was another couple of guys in there, one who had been in there for about 10 days, who all night was groaning and had these really fierce, fearful dreams because he had sort of testicular pain that they were trying to find the cause of that. So, you know, in comparison to him, I felt, wow, you know, my injuries might look bad, but right, they will heal. And so that sense of gratitude, and I guess coming back to the whole idea that we compare one another, we compare our life to someone next to us, and the whole, you know, comparison of the good life, mm, is what's your life like? You know, the fact that I had this violent injury, random injury, but I was so cared for and loved, and even my place in the world felt really affirmed, and I felt affirmed to the roles that I'm called to, you know, and they seem to even have a sort of a highlighted importance, just being a husband and a father and being involved in work and community. Those things sort of had a greater sort of highlight to me that, sure, they're really important, and so you know, I think the aspect of gratitude can be really fantastic as far as, you know, healing goes.
Yeah.
What about people who don't belong to a faith community? Like, I'm just hearing what Hugh's saying, and Hugh's having this sense of gratitude in the midst of this suffering experience. But I mean, Hugh's a Christian and he's locating that experience of suffering within a bigger story. But for a lot of people of no faith, they don't have that bigger story, and they might feel grateful that they're not suffering worse than they are, but at the same time they're not exactly thanking someone in particular, right? So you know, for them, suffering, I'm assuming, is just, you know, what happens to people when they can deal with it on that level. So how do you respond to something like that?
Yeah, no, I think, again, it's one is just recognizing that suffering is part of life, whatever form it takes, you know, whether it's illness or tragedy or just difficulty of, you know, life circumstances. Life is hard, and it's not that life is miserable. You know, I think Malcolm Fraser's famously quoted George Bernard Shaw when he said life wasn't meant to be easy, and it caused a bit of a stir at the time, and still effects that continue from time to time. But the rest of that quote is, you know, life wasn't meant to be easy, my child, but it can be delightful. I think something to that effect. And I think understanding that, okay, so life is hard, it's tough, but life is a delightful experience, and it's to be reveled in at any time. And I think for, you know, whether you're a person of faith or not a person of faith, to have people around you who care for you and uphold you and love you and walk through stuff with you, I mean, that's great, you know, whether you acknowledge God in that or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, from a perspective of someone who believes in God, I would see God as present in those situations among people who are not of faith, just as present there as he is among those who do have faith. It's just a question of what's being acknowledged or who's being acknowledged.
Yeah, perhaps too, it's one thing of expectation, that if we expect that, expecting a mountaintop, and we think that, you know, God or goodness can't be in a valley,
right?
Then, you know, we're sort of setting ourselves up for disappointment, because we often don't have mountains and valleys. We often, those things can exist alongside each other. We have good times and bad times and difficult times.
And a whole lot of in-between times too, right? Yeah. You know, so between the mountains and the valleys, there are the plains. You know, and I think that's important too, that a lot of life is not necessarily hardship and suffering or success and victory and, you know, all of that, but just routine and, you know, more or less the same thing day in, day out, and finding a sense of meaning and God in that as well, you know, that there's wonder and beauty and
also even in the midst of the ordinary.
Even in the midst of the ordinary.
You know, I think this is what Christianity really has to offer, because there's this sense that God doesn't remain remote from suffering or even just, you know, the humdrum nature of everyday life, but he enters into it. So he's not just someone to experience in those mountain sort of experiences, but is to be found in the valleys as well. And it's like, well, this also means that he's there in the highs and the lows, the joys and the suffering experiences as well.
Yeah, and I think this is, for me, one of the most stunning truths of Christianity, is the idea of God, the creator of everything, the universe and everything in it, entering into our humanity, you know, becoming totally immersed in the human experience, and in that going through the most excruciating suffering. And you know, the image of Jesus on the cross, there's so much to that, but a God who, as you say, Justine, isn't just out there looking down on all of our misery and our hardship and suffering with a kind of a benevolent sympathy and so, well, they're there, you know.
It's the whole Bette Midler, God is watching us,
distance. From a distance, you know, and that's so not how it is, you know. We have a God who is right there with us in every moment of our lives, in the good and the bad and the suffering, and not, as I say, not just as a remote God who has not himself experienced, but as a God who has entered into human experience and suffered himself and knows what that's about.
If you've just joined the conversation, this is Justine Toe from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm here with Mick Martin and Hugh Clark, and we're talking about how we deal with suffering in the midst of life.
I remember a story I read in, there's actually a transcript of a talk that Dave Andrews, who's a Christian minister in Brisbane, I think he's based, and he was addressing the TIER conference a number of years ago now. And he delivered a paper around the meaning of the cross and what that was all about, and it was very profound. But he shared a story about a trip he took to Sudan in the middle of all the warring and so on there. And he visited, I think it was a refugee camp, and he said he'd been in a lot of pretty awful places before, but he said there was nothing like this. This was a hell on earth kind of place. And he talked about his first night in this refugee camp, how he woke up in the middle of the night, it was pitch black, you know, because there's no lighting or anything like that anywhere. And he heard this human, and he couldn't even tell if it was a man or a woman, but this person suffering, and it was this agonizing screaming, and it just went on and on and on. He was trying to figure out he went outside his tent, tried to figure out where it was coming from, what was causing it, it sounded like maybe a woman being attacked by a bunch of men or something, but there was some horrific thing going on, and he wanted it to stop, and it just kept going and going, and it was like tearing him apart, and he's cried out to God, "Well, God, where are you? You know, like, why are you allowing this? Why is this happening?" And he felt God say, "I'm right there with that person suffering at the hands of these merciless men." You know, and that idea that God is so close to us in our suffering, he's suffering with us, you know, and I just found that such a powerful illustration of, I think, the very thing we're talking about. And so for us as Christians, you know, we have, no matter how bad things get, we at least have the knowledge and hopefully the comfort. You know, sometimes comfort can be an elusive thing, but we can at least know that we're not cut off from God when we're in times of struggle and hardship and suffering, and it's not like He's just standing there patting us on the shoulder and saying it's going to be all right, but He's actually in the suffering with us and going through it with us, and that I find a very powerful thought.
And also one that is full of hope as well, because, you know, like, it's like the story of Christianity doesn't end in the grave, right? It ends in the resurrection. And
right, so absolutely.
It's this sense that while there is suffering and while there is a time when, you know, evil men prevail and all the rest of that, there is not, that this won't always be the case.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And I think that's, again, the stunning part of the story, isn't there? There's a wonderful expression that comes from one of Paul's letters where he says, death, you know, where is your sting? And nothing that life throws at us, nothing that we encounter, no struggle, no sickness, no hardship, no failure, no suffering, can overcome the ultimate hope that we have in God and the ultimate life that He has for us eternally.
So Hugh, you've heard just Mick talk about that. Did you have a sense that God was with you in the midst of the time that you were in the hospital bed?
Well, it was such a dream-like experience, really, when I look back on it. But I guess, you know, they talk about faith being like a muscle, like you exercise it and it grows, and you exercise it by, you know, relying on God and trusting in Him. And, you know, my life is being one characterized by that on a daily basis, so that when I come to a point where it's really dire and where I'm really desperately wanting Him, there's no doubt that he's not there. There's no sort of thought that, wow, I'm in a hospital, God must have left the room, you know. There is just an assurance, just a peace, and certainly evidence in many ways in the way that I was cared for and the people that were around me. You know, I was sort of in this delirious state, people trying to sort of plug holes in my face where blood was pouring out so they could stitch it up. And, you know, a good Christian friend was holding my hand, praying for me. And there was a very physical sense that Jesus was right there holding my hand, praying for me, you know, that there was a sense of peace in the midst of that, that my family were okay, that I was okay, and that I was being cared for in the midst of a very difficult situation.
And that's only the stuff that you're conscious of as well, right? Because this doesn't give us an insight into all the other unseen acts of kindness, like the person who stopped you, right, and all who stopped to help you on their way home, like that. I mean, you probably weren't, I'm not sure if you were conscious for most of that, but that's a pretty incredible thing as well, those unseen acts of kindness.
Yeah, that's right. How do you sort of add up all of that? The fact that there was a doctor cycling home from RPA hospital where I ended up, and he stopped and took care of the whole situation. There was a person who saw me go down on a car. He pulled over straight away and created a barrier so I was safe. The first person that attended me, a cyclist, had done a first aid course the day before. So she was ready to put me into recovery position and go through. I don't think she tried to do mouth to mouth. Yeah, there was just care in any number of ways that I can say, well, you know, God was helping me in that situation.
The Centre for Public Christianity, Beyond Religion.
Well, thank you for your thoughts, Mick, and also for Hugh for sharing your experience with us. Now, I hope you've enjoyed this wide-ranging discussion. We've covered reality, the good life, how we cope with suffering, and what role faith plays in the midst of suffering. Now, these are huge questions, and they're bigger than all of us. But hopefully, as you've joined the discussion, you've gotten out of it this idea that when we suffer, we don't do so alone. Many of us have friends and family who care for us and are happy to lend a hand when we're going through a rough patch. But even if, you know, we don't have people in our lives that step in to help, there's also God. As we've been saying, the Christian understanding is that God has drawn near to us and is with us, not only in the good times, but in the bad times as well. Not only is that reassuring, but it's hopeful, because we know that good times or bad, we're never really alone. Join us next time on Life and Faith as John Dixon and I talk about the latest archaeological discovery that seems to indicate that Jesus was married. I ask John about the significance of the find and whether the Academy is taking it seriously, and does it really make a difference if Jesus got hitched? Tune in for the discussion, should be good.